It's time to take a stand. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
I used to believe everything I'd see on the news, but that's before I discovered a brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those living with moderate to severe stupidity have seen immediate improvement in common sense with a brain.
I thought the government had my best interests at heart, and then a friend told me about a brain.
Talk to your doctor about what news sources you obey. A brain may also lower your desire to take life-altering advice from celebrities.
Getting lectured about my car footprint from people with three private jets used to make sense. But thanks to a brain, now I can think for myself every day. When my disregard for third grade biology began to flare up, I knew it was time for a brain.
Do not try a brain if you're allergic to a brain. Common side effects may include accountability, discernment, homeschooling your kids, a better understanding of economics, awareness of the stupidity of socialism, and diarrhea.
For tethering yourself to reality, the only no-brainer is choosing a brain. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you.
For more information, visit tryabrain.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, recommend a brain to your Democrat friends. Ask them if they've heard about a brain and that they need a brain, and maybe we can help them out. Seems to be what they're lacking. By the way, Dane Cook, a really popular comedian a decade or two ago, I'm sure he's still pretty popular and successful, but I mean, he was like the number one comedian for a couple years, about 20 or so years ago. And he put up a video, and it's very, I want to play the video because you can see there's no angle to this. There's no emotion. It's just, he's just asking people, hey, what do you guys think about politics right now? And we'll play the video and then get to the responses. Here it is, clip 13.
I get a serious question. Going to get serious. So I'm just curious. I don't want to hear it from like some kind of media outlet. I didn't want to hear it from some random internet source. I just wanted to get like a vibe from people on here. Politically, where are you at? I mean, you don't have to say like what your vote is full out, but like, I just want to understand like where the country is right now after, you know, just the last 2 weeks has been pretty gnarly in terms of just everything and anything. Political. And so, just out of my own curiosity, in the comment section, where are you leaning? What's the vibe? It's not even a poll. I just want to, like, just get a general sense.
Well, speaking of polls, we can get to that in a second. But, folks, you go into the comments, and this is all you see. Was blue, but learned to fact check, and now red. I've seen so many leaving the left videos. I was a Democrat, not anymore. Voted left my whole life. And now I have to vote right for my children. It just goes on and on like this. I lean left, but going with Don on this one. And then, had you ever heard this? Don Van Gogh. Don Van Gogh with the ear. I'd never heard of Don Van Gogh until I started. Don Van Gogh. We should maybe put up a famous Van Gogh and then like do AI like Trump rendition of a Van Gogh or something. So anyway, it just goes on and on and on. And it's mostly people that say they're liberal or vote Democrat or lean left, and they're all voting for Donald Trump. I mean, look at this one. Used to be extreme left. Now I'm far right. It just goes on and on. I was raised Democrat. Now I'm voting Republican. Every single one of the comments. And getting back to the polls, folks, they're trying so hard to get Trump to lose a poll. Oh, there it is. Wow. Nicely done. There's Trump Van Gogh. Or Don Van Gogh. They're trying so hard to get Trump to lose a poll. And every single poll that they put up on Twitter, or X rather, is Trump is getting minimum 70%, maximum 80%. Doesn't matter who's putting it up. Doesn't matter the source, anything. So they try to read. The Krasensteins are just losing. They're losing their minds. So now they're putting up polls that say, do you want a rapist? Or do you want a lawyer for president? And then the rapist wins. So they can't even frame it to get Trump to lose. It's a nice effort, liberals.
We Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They did such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duher here with me right now. We were one family together, black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support. And I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, and all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money completely. But because of InfoWars MD, they have basically unlimited for us. So that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs. And they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
My first veteran guest for today is Jimmy Corsetti, and I recently saw him on with the Hodge Twins, and it was just such an awesome interview, and he just has so many unique perspectives that I was like, man, I gotta get this guy on. I want to talk to this guy about some of the stuff and the research that he does. And Jimmy, really what sparked my imagination with you was getting into kind of the hidden anthropology. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I mean, I think you would probably agree how the theory of evolution has been completely debunked with some of the things that we know about ancient human civilization. So I definitely want to get into that with you, but I can't help but let's just start off political, because I was looking at your X feed today, and you were getting into some politics. I mean, where do you see us at right now in America politically? I mean, I know you heard some of my first 5 minutes there for this hour. So, I mean, where do you see things going? Democrats are desperate. Now they're trying Kamala. The deep state tries to put a bullet through Trump's head. How do you find ground right now in these epic political times?
I have to tell you, what I think we're witnessing is history repeating itself. And if there's something I've learned while studying history and the ancients, is that this seems to be a cycle of rinse, cycle, repeat, so to speak, that throughout history, tyrants move in. They'll stop at nothing to gain power and destroy everyone along with it. And it's happening all over again. These people are trying to take over the world, and they're all in. And the hour is late, and I couldn't be more concerned about the future of the United States. I will say that the future looks quite bleak. However, good triumphs over evil. And I think that the future is uncertain, and it's not too late. I do believe that things will get much worse before they get better. But we're in for a fight, and history is the case in point. It seems to go this way.
Well, you've got a really incredible channel, Bright Insight, for folks. If you want to look at some of the untaught ancient history, you won't learn this stuff in the history textbooks. I think that's by design. They'd rather lie to you about evolution than tell you the truth about ancient history, and maybe we can get into that in a second. But leaning in on that, do you think things move faster now when we deal with major turning of events like we're going through right now? Do you think things are moving faster now than they would normally? Because I tell my friends that ask me, like, oh, what's going to happen? Everything's so crazy. And I just say, look, I can't tell you for sure what's going to happen. I tune into the show if you want to know. But I'm like, look, the next 100 days are going to be just completely crazy. The next 100 days till the election, 102, are going to be insane. And then the 70-so-odd days from election to inauguration are going to be insane. So that's all I pretty much can guarantee people when they ask me, well, what do you think is going to happen, really?
Yeah, things are moving faster than ever. It's because their lies are being exposed at a speed of light rate because of our technology. Here we are blasting out the truth on Twitter, and they can't keep up. And I agree with you. Things are going to get unbelievably crazy over the next 100 days. Here's my big prediction. Kamala Harris is not going to be the nominee, and if she is, something will happen between the DNC nomination at the end of or latter part of August and the election day. She's not the one. They know she can't win. They're going to steal it. They stole 2020, so they have to steal it again. They're all in. If they don't keep stealing it, they'll get caught. And best case scenario, they'll spend the rest of their lives in prison. So So I think we're going to witness a curveball. I don't know what it is. COVID in 2020 was the curveball. People weren't really expecting that. There was talks of a pandemic and all that, but like nothing to that extent. And that was their artifice to steal a 2020 election through mail-in voting and the machines and everything else. So I think that there's going to be something that comes out of left field that we're not expecting. It might go beyond World War III. It could be a grid-down scenario. Use your imagination, but I'm telling you, something's coming. This is not going to play out. And they know she can't win. When the election comes and Donald Trump doesn't win, everyone will be convinced it was stolen. So they need to bring out something in the last second. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, that's kind of the wild card, too, is we think, okay, a million people in January 6th in D.C., that was like Trump's top supporters. Those were people that really follow politics with a microscope every day that were like, this thing was so obviously stolen. I've got to do something. I've got to go to D.C. and call for the process to have this thing reviewed, the legal lawful process to have this thing reviewed. And then, you know, the rest is history, as they say. But I think that should they steal it from Trump again, I don't think it's going to be a million people in D.C. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's going to be 10 million plus people that are going to be like that, like saying, OK, this was a steal job. Now, I don't know what that looks like as far as what people do in that response mechanism, but it's going to be 10 million plus that are like, no. This election was fake. But then on the other hand of that, and this kind of goes back to what you're saying, is, you know, maybe they already have made that measurement, or maybe Republicans have made the right adjustments to make sure they can't steal it. So now you're getting into that, okay, here's all the cards they can play. And I mean, are they going to play them all in the next 100 days to try to get rid of Trump? They already tried to put a bullet through his head. So, I mean, all bets are off here as what cards they're going to play, I think, moving forward. And you just highlighted some of them. But I tell you what, I'm so curious. Your channel is, if you want to break from politics, folks, but you still want that kind of itch in your head scratched of just interesting information that provokes thought, I would go follow Jimmy and his Rumble and YouTube channels. What was it for you that made you interested in ancient human history? Was there a certain megalith, or was there what was it for you that you were like, huh, wait a second, we're not being told the truth about ancient human civilization. I want to dig more into this. And then ultimately now you're one of the leading content creators with that subject material.
It's an interesting question. So back in 20, I've always had an interest in the ancient since I was a kid. I remember reading the Goosebump books where they were talking about the mysteries of the pyramids. And then in 2015, I had gone back to school and I had a knee surgery. And I was basically bed and couch ridden, and I got real depressed and was unhappy with my decision to go get a master's degree. And I basically just started going down the rabbit hole of looking into the Egyptians. I saw Joe Rogan showing up on my feed with Graham Hancock and other people. And I came across this channel. His name is Brian Forrester, where he was discussing these 100-ton stone granite boxes that are called the Serapeum in Saqqara, Egypt. And he was describing on how we were taught that the Egyptians had to use bronze chisels and hammers, or stone hammers and bronze saws, to cut stone. But it doesn't make sense because of the Mohs scale of hardness, that those tools could not effectively cut granite. So I'm like, well, that's interesting. Let me go down this rabbit hole and see for myself. And sure enough, I did some fact checking and saw, oh, my goodness, the mystery is real. We have absolutely no explanation for how they constructed the pyramids. The Egyptians left us with no explanation for how they moved stones that weigh upwards of 1,000 metric tons. For example, there's a statue called the Ramesseum in Luxor, Egypt. It weighed 1,000 metric tons before it was inexplicably destroyed, which is a whole other rabbit hole to go down. But 1,000 metric tons is 2.2 million pounds, and this stone was inexplicably transported approximately 170 miles. The sheer physics behind that goes way beyond anything we've done in modern times. I'll give you a quick example. In 2012, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art moved a 340-ton stone just over 100 miles. It took a year of planning. They had to custom build a 260-foot-long trailer truck that was made up of 198 semi-truck wheels, had 44 axles, and it moved at like 4 miles an hour. And that was known as being the largest project of its kind since the Egyptians built the pyramids. So I look at those details and I'm like, wait a second, So you're saying that the Egyptians somehow moved a stone that was three times heavier than that stone, and they did it with primitive methods? It doesn't make sense. And I'll just wrap up my soapbox real quick because I'll keep talking. But to anyone that's not familiar with the mysteries of the ancients, I'm inclined to think that you're starting to hear more and more about it, whether it's the Joe Rogans of the world, the Graham Hancocks, even Tucker Carlson has alluded to the mysteries of the Egyptians. And the reason why the interest is growing is because people that are looking into these details as an adult, as opposed to being taught about it when we're 11 years old in like the sixth grade or whatever, you realize that, oh my goodness, we truly have no idea about the most magnificent aspects of our ancient past, that there truly is a missing chapter of human history. And that in itself raises questions, because it seems that human civilization right now is going down a very, very dark path, that despite how technologically advanced we are, we're as dumb as ever, we're as separated and divisive as ever, and it seems like we're heading down a path to destroy ourselves once again.
Well, and I my theory is the reason why they want to erase ancient human civilization is so they can teach the lie of evolution, so that humans don't think that they are a special creation. I would say, to put it as simply as possible, they want to get rid of the idea of divine creation. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Anybody can sit here and observe, wow, look, humans make rocket ships. No other species on Earth builds a rocket ship. I mean, that's just one obvious example. And so they're like, huh, there's something different about us. And so, no, here comes the propaganda. No, you're not different. You just evolved from a monkey turd. There's nothing special about you. You're not different. And so I think that's why they want to remove the truth about ancient history and then give you this lie about evolution. Now, what do you think? Because I'm not as deeply embedded to this as you. I'm kind of just a casual observer. Like, I'm the kind of guy that would go to your channel and be interested in the stuff you're covering. But one of the things that seems to stick out to me is certain patterns where it seems like there is a civilizational reset, maybe like every 10,000 years or something like that. It seems like there is a civilizational reset, whether that's humans doing it to ourselves, or maybe there is some sort of a catastrophic event that just in a timeline always happens to Earth, and maybe the secret civilizations know this and they kind of plan things around this. What kind of conclusions have you reached based off of your research and the timeline of all these different megaliths and ancient digs of a pattern as far as civilizational resets?
Well, it's a scientific fact that the Earth goes through periods of cataclysmic events, such as pole shifts, and we're currently underway for a pole shift. You had interviewed, I believe you and I know Alex Jones had, back with that solar flare that happened about a month and a half ago, Ben Davison of the Suspicious Observers YouTube channel. He's Sunspace Weather News on Twitter, and he's covering this more than anybody. But it is a scientific fact that the poles shift, and approximately 12 to 13,000 years ago, there was a geomagnetic pole excursion that caused profound weather changes throughout the world. It reset the Gulf Stream. It caused a deep freeze and then a rapid heating, which was the end of the last ice age, which in itself is a mystery. And if you look at the fact that they're updating runway numbers throughout the world, which are aligned to the compass, for example, if you land on runway 12 left, it's because you're facing 120 degrees on the compass. Well, over the last several years, they've been updating these numbers throughout the world because the poles are shifting at a rapid pace. It's been happening over the last several decades, and it's now accelerating. And let me just clarify, because not everyone, mainstream science will say that's not what's happening here. Here is what is a known scientific fact, which is that the Earth has what's called glacials and interglacial periods, which in over the last 450,000 years, we've had five interglacial periods, which means periods of warming. And these periods of warming last several to tens of thousands of years. And in between them are periods of cooling, which are called glacial periods because the glaciers now grow and cover the continents. And those periods last 70 to 90,000 years. I should say that Elon Musk had alluded to this about a year and a half ago on the Full Send podcast, where he was talking about how ice ages are a deep, deep rabbit hole. And basically what I'm trying to tell you is that pole shifts are what is the missing link in what causes cataclysms on Earth, including the ice ages. And it's the reason why we know so little about our ancient past. It is a scientific fact that humans, as far as our modern cranial capacity, dates back over 300,000 years. And yet we're supposed to believe that we only started doing or created a civilization 6,000 years ago with the Sumerians. That's just not the case. There's ancient sites such as Göbekli Tepe in Turkey that date back almost 12,000 years ago, which if you want to go down a rabbit hole, look into the World Economic Forum, how they're infiltrating archaeological digs around the world and are preventing excavation. I made a few videos on that recently.
Oh, I do want to get into that.
That's a wild one. And this is something people could look into, but it all ties back to the religious aspect. Why are they trying to cancel Christianity? I agree with you entirely that it's like they don't want people to believe in God. They want everyone to believe in science. And what's interesting is that science has become a religion and that you have so many leading scientists who are atheists, but they believe, like the human characteristic of humans, that we got to believe in something. It's the way we're designed. So people who don't believe in God believe in science. But it seems to me that the religious texts from around the world do speak of cataclysmic events. For example, the Great Flood out of the Bible. A lot of people aren't aware that that flood story is found on five continents around the world from hundreds of different cultures and religious texts. Clearly, there must be some truth to that. So tying back in into what I was just saying about the events of 11 to 12,000 years ago, which is that there was a rapid rise of sea levels of more than 400 feet in a relatively short period of time. So if you take it to the fact that ancient humans were known to live on the coast, I mean, almost half the world's population lives on or near a coast today because of the abundance of resources and travel and all that. And it's not hard to put together the dots, which is that that's what they're talking about. The flood didn't have to cover the Peruvian Andes and the Himalayas, but if it was a worldwide event that was 400-foot rise in sea levels, that would have obliterated civilizations around the world, and I think it all ties together.
Well, I want to get into the excavation, and then I'll ask you a question on something specific if we have time for it. But, yeah, your most recent coverage was about they want to not excavate, what is this, a potential new pyramid discovery. But I think it's important, too, to explain how important these excavation sites are. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was excavations that led to us discovering Easter Island. It was excavations that led to us discovering the pyramids in Mexico and in South America, where before they did the excavation, I mean, folks, it's just like a giant forest. I mean, like, it just looks like a normal forest. And then they come in and dig it all up, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a megalith, been here tens of thousands of years. So talk about this new discovery and why they won't excavate it so that we can see this incredible piece of ancient history.
This is wild. So there are two sites. One is called Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. It dates back 11,600 years ago. And in 2016, there was a partnership announced with the Doges Group, which is a conglomerate of businesses that is a billion-dollar industry. And the CEO is a longtime member of the World Economic Forum. And since they took control in 2018, excavations had been at a near standstill. Yes, there are archaeologists conducting work there today. However, there are hundreds of pillars that are still under the ground, and they have stated that they are going to save that excavation for, quote, future generations, and went on to say that it may be 150 years before they dig it up, which makes absolutely no feasible sense in any kind, because it is literally... This site is 50 times larger than Stonehenge and almost 7,000 years older. You would think you'd want to dig that up. So the other site, the pyramid, which you just mentioned, is a site in Indonesia called Gunung Padang. And it may be as old as 27,000 years. It is a hilltop formation that was geoengineered into a series of five terraces. So kind of like a pyramidal type structure. It's not really a pyramid, but call it a pyramidal-like structure. And the ground penetrating radar, scientific measurement, has identified a tunnel and cavity that's underneath the ruins there. So the question becomes, okay, when are we going to go dig this up? Well, it turns out that the Ministry of Culture, Education, Research and Technology in Indonesia is it is assigned by the president of Indonesia, and the minister of that entire department is a global shaper of the World Economic Forum. His name is Nadia Makarem. And they went from 2014 saying that they were willing to allocate, the Indonesian government, I should say, was willing to allocate unlimited funding and resources to dig this up. And then in 2018, this World Economic Forum global shaper takes control, and all of a sudden, the funding is just evaporated, gone. They're not digging it up. So just to clarify for the audience, two of what may be the oldest ancient sites on Earth that stand to completely rewrite our history and debunk the textbooks are at an indefinite standstill as of today, which raises unbelievable questions, which is, Why is the World Economic Forum even remotely associated with these sites? And let me just say one last thing, because I get a lot of pushback and the skeptics and everything will say, well, the World Economic Forum doesn't control these sites. And I'm like, wait a second. The World Economic Forum is nothing in itself. It's nothing but a bunch of members that have infiltrated cabinets around the world, corporations, the media, and they're the ones that have the power. So it's the people, the decision-making people, the people that make the decision-making powers at these sites are members of the World Economic Forum, and they are the ones that are choosing not to excavate. The connection is there. It's disturbing, and I'm not sure what to make of it, other than that they're trying to suppress our ancient past.
Well, here's what's amazing, too. It's like, you know, my show is obviously politics, and I kind of remove the curtain on political developments and controls and the shadow hands and influences and everything like that. But, I mean, really, if this is one hand of the corrupt body that tries to control planet Earth, this is the other hand, is what you're talking about. And it's less talked about because it's less in your face. I mean, the Catholic Church will do the same thing. They'll find these historical archaeological sites, and then the Catholic Church will just put a church and say, oh, no, it's ours now. And then the Vatican comes in and steals all the things that get found under the site. And I'm getting off base here, but it's like, it really is incredible how there's this whole wing. I don't even know. I guess you would call it the anthropological secret societies that stop us from knowing ancient history. So it's like, yeah, I focus on politics, but the stuff that you're covering, I'm telling you, folks, it's just as curious, and there's just as much corruption and control over the human mind and consciousness when it comes to them hiding our history. Now, there's all kinds of sites I'm sure that you could talk about with this, but I'm just curious, because there's been a theory that's been going around. Is there an ancient structure or a pyramid or a sphinx even in the Grand Canyon?
That's debatable. To my knowledge, no, it's nothing more than a conspiracy, which I use the word conspiracy. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Like, I need to see it to believe it. But it is interesting to mention that all the monuments of the Grand Canyon are named after Egyptian gods and relics there. And there has been legends going back more than 100 years that state that there was Egyptian artifacts found there, that there was tunnels with hieroglyphs that were Egyptian. But that being said, I need to see it to believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's possible. There are other mysteries that are very profound. And I will mention this really quick, because we're talking about the powers of the world. People should be aware that the most powerful people on Earth are interested in the ancients. For example, the black market of Egyptian antiquities is a like $4 or $5 billion a year industry, which raises questions, because it's like clearly these billionaires are buying up relics on the black market. Almost like Batman, you know, having like this cave of like artifacts, you know, you saw in the first Batman from the 80s with Bruce Wayne showing off, you know, this armor and all this other stuff. And I should also mention that Purdue Pharma, back when they were a thing, you know, the creators of the OxyContin, they had a museum exhibit at the in New York at the Met that was dedicated to them. And they had poured in millions of dollars into Egyptian antiquities. And it raises questions. Why are the most powerful people on Earth so interested in the ancients? And I'm here to tell you that there's something there, that the smartest, most richest, most powerful people on Earth understand that there's real secrets to our ancient past, and there seems to be a suppression of this evidence. I can tell you right now that there is definitive evidence that shows that what we were taught in school about the true history of ancient civilizations has been debunked, and that we were older and more advanced than what we were taught. How old and how advanced is the debatable part? But there's enough to upend our textbooks as it is. And this is the kind of stuff.
Well, ancient Egypt is kind of the keyhole into all of that. And Jimmy, I'm out of time. We got to do this again. Jimmy Corsetti.
Let's do it.
Bright insight. I got another guest coming up, but we'll do this again, Jimmy. This is just incredible stuff. And your research is fantastic. All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Been a pleasure.
Let's go to Nurse Keith in Oregon. You're on the air. Welcome, and thanks for holding.
About an hour ago, you were kind of explaining to people about how the micronutrients and stuff that are available in different foods actually had an effect on...
Let's be clear. There isn't long-term billion-year evolution. There's jumps, but how you build a car, or cars have evolved, or electricity, or computers have changed. There is innovation, and humans do get ancestral memories from their ancestors. That's called instincts. Yes.
Not trying to brag, but I'm a board-certified wound care associate, which is not an easy certification to get. It takes years. And it encompasses, you know, cardiology, endocrine, pulmonary, you name it. You've got to be good at all kinds of stuff. And let's face it, a lot of my doctors, they don't know anything about this stuff. It's my job as a nurse to figure it out. And
the average medical doctor gets 2 hours of college education on nutrition.
So one of the things that I do is I'm looking for results. And by using very good nutraceuticals and supplements and things like that, I can fix a problem. Give you just a real quick example. Let's say you have a really bad wound on your leg and you have diabetes and poor circulation. Well, I can order you a bottle of Nitric Boost, a bottle of Bazobeat, and get your ass up on a treadmill a little bit. But these things work better than any of the medication that we give. So I've got about 35,000 points because I give these things away as gifts.
Hold on. This is important. Patients. This is important. Absolutely. Just iodine alone, that's essential. It means you die without it. They don't tell you most people are deficient. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities, the UN admits. That's what these concentrated plants and other compounds do. So you're saying you're taking care of people with wounds, one of the biggest medical industries out there, super tough job. And you're seeing with nutrition, and also they need to not be sedentary, obviously. You're seeing massive effects, because I've actually read about this. I'm not an expert like you, but that there's massive problems. Because the doctors don't even say exercise or get out of the bed or take supplements that are good for your skin. And it's so simple. I mean, my wife takes supplements to have good hair and good nails, and it really works for her. I mean, this stuff works. It's the compounds. Tell people about some of the things you've witnessed.
Alex, I would not have 35,000 Patriot points if this stuff didn't work. I'm not into buying BS, and I don't push BS. When I've got a complex wound and I see something that you guys sell that I know perfectly fits, I love vitamin C and zinc. It's simple stuff, but the difference is the things that you guys sell versus what I buy at Walmart, they're not even in the same game. The stuff that you guys sell is legit.
We can sell the stuff Walmart sells, synthetic stuff, and the bottle costs more than what they're selling. With us, these products, some of these products are costing us $30 a bottle, like DNA Force, okay? I mean, so there's cost because it is the highest rated.
If you're taking a nitrate, like you were talking about the Nitrate Boost, well, that is going to vasodilate. So when you're vasodilated, yeah, you're going to be pitching a proper 10. The Bazobeat does the exact same thing. But it also helps if I've got a person who's got really poor perfusion, and I just want to get their blood flow going so that I can keep this wound from going septic and actually get some granulation going. Or I could throw all the medications at it. Not going to do a damn thing. The doctors see the patient for 10 minutes, write a prescription, and say, okay, come back in 45 days. And it's my job to actually go figure it out. And so I use a lot of the stuff that you guys have.
Thank you so much, and God bless you, Nurse Keith. We'll talk to you soon. Get his name and number.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're about to get real serious with new body cam footage that has come out now, about 25 minutes worth. That 3 minutes that we got before was just cut out of this now longer 25-minute body cam footage. And so we're going to be joined by a veteran, and not just a military veteran, but a veteran of law enforcement as well, the Alpha Warrior, who's going to be breaking this down. And I was so impressed with his breakdown of the first release of the body cam footage. I said, I got to get you on to explain this to my audience. We weren't necessarily anticipating the release of this new body cam footage last night, but now it's going to be an even more important breakdown. Folks, if you like that last guest, and I know you're going to like this next guest, you're going to like my in-studio guest coming up, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how this show is able to stay on air. Literally, that's it. You're our sponsors, shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. The products are great. I'm a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. It's stuff like Nitric Boost for your cardiovascular health. What are you doing for heart health? What are you doing for blood health? If the answer is nothing, then the answer is Nitric Boost. 40% off InfoWarsStore.com, part of the Save InfoWars mega sale. And I get it. I don't even want to sit here and talk about the products, but we have to fund ourselves to be on air. I'd rather spend this time talking to my guests, but we need your support. So please shop at InfoWarsStore.com, get a great product, and keep this show on the air. All right. Alpha Warrior. We spoke, I believe it was Monday night, and we were talking about the body cam footage. Well, now you've got even more to work with. I'm sure you've reviewed it for your own show. But do you want to start with some of the stuff that we talked about Monday, or do you want to just get into now we have even more body cam footage? I guess I would start it by asking you this. Do you think we're going to get more body cam footage? And was there anything new in this recent release that sticks out to you? I know certainly for me there was, but I want to hear it from you.
So I have not had a chance to look at the new footage. So I'm excited to see it, to see if it answers some of the questions or corroborates some of the speculation I had from the original one. So I'm very curious. As far as answering the question, do I think we get more? I think we'll get more. It's just depending, are we going to get all of it? And I think that's the important part, because it's the stuff that they may not want to release that may either create more questions or answer some of the questions that we already have.
Well, I will tell you some of the things that you talked about that just pertain to body cam footage in general. The same things pertain to this. They did have a date there. So there's a little date with a timestamp at the bottom. But here's what's incredible about this. And guys, pull up the images I sent you, or you can dot cam this. So we now know, thanks to this body cam footage, because who knows what we can trust from Secret Service or the FBI? Probably nothing. So we now know, thanks to this body cam footage and other analysis with Eli Crane's video and then the photo that Secret Service put out, there were Secret Service agents not only in that building, that was a headquarters. You can see in the video now that was a stationed headquarters. But then also we now see that the photo of Crooks was from the second story of that building. And so here's the little cement block that he was climbing on. And then you can see it's from this window right here. So, okay, this begs the obvious question. If Secret Service is stationed in the building, and if Secret Service is stationed on the roof, how is it? And now the timeline is it could have been 15 minutes before the first shot was fired that this guy was on the roof assembling his gun and everything else. How is this possible? How is it possible that he's able to be on that roof for more than 10 minutes if Secret Service is in that building?
It's not possible. The only way it's possible is if they allow him to. Because with the amount of time, the amount of resources, and the amount of obstacles that he has to go through to get on that roof, you have more than one opportunity to stop him from doing it. So if he's on that roof, it's because they allowed him to be on that roof.
And that's what I'm saying. And people want to get into all these different debates about, was there more than one shooter, or what does the audio analysis say, or, you know, look at this water tower, whatever it is. I'm sitting here and I'm saying, look, let's look at the obvious here. There was a stand down and now there's a cover up. I mean, let's focus on that. Let's try to figure out what led to that, who was involved in that, because we know that was the case. Now, let's go back to the original body cam footage release, because I'm going to tell you there's really not much else in there. I mean, you might be able to pick up on some things from your law enforcement background of just general communications and stuff, but the 3 minutes from there on the roof is still the most important. Again, like I said, the other stuff is them kind of walking around the grounds and then just an extended conversation on top of the roof. It doesn't answer necessarily any of the questions you originally had. So give your breakdown now of the original 3 minutes that we got that body cam footage earlier this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I'll bring people's attention to, since you briefly covered it already, is the data that's on the film that we're seeing here, on the video that we're seeing here. You see a date and you see a timestamp. Anybody that's ever seen our body cam footage, our video cams, there's a ton of information that's on there, either the officer's name or the unit number, the agency name. Like, there is a bunch of information that's on there. Now, this looks like, you know, like a GoPro camera that he had on his helmet with the timestamp on it, which they're not going to allow. Especially, people got to remember, this isn't a patrol guy. This isn't your just regular rank and file law enforcement. This is part of your elite unit or their version of a SWAT team. So these are guys that have been on the job, not only for an extended amount of time, but they've surpassed all the knowledge and experience of what it takes to become on one of these elite teams or these tactical teams. So that's who's on this roof. Where is the information from the camera that, you know, per department policy, you're not going to have any other cameras that are on you, on let alone training in a real life event like this one. The other thing where people say, well, maybe they censored it out. Well, if that's the case, they will blur it. We can't do, like, if it was a document, we can't white something out like it was never there. That we have to do, you could blur it out on a video, you could put a black box over, you know, you can censor it. And then there's more petitions with the court to get that information from not being redacted. But this right here, they're making it seem like this is what it is. So I'm very suspect of the video to begin with. The next thing is when you look at the position of the body and, you know, with his head at the highest part, feet at the lowest part, going off the angle of the roof, and you look at the blood that's trailing down there, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but the likelihood that the blood pattern, when it's at towards the bottom, where it does this S pattern from one side to the other side, that's just not likely on an authentic scene where there's this type of blood trail. And some of the markers that I use to make that opinion is when you see the thicker blood, you see there's a couple of parts where you see a finger that kind of breaks off of it. You know, blood like water will go on the path of least resistance. So if there's a finger that's breaking off, then all the blood would have went that way or would have went the other way. The other thing people have to understand is the consistency or the thickness of blood is much thicker than water. So it's also going to be harder to change the flow of where the blood's going. This just has the hallmarks of something somebody would do based off their knowledge of
well, let me just pause you right there, guys, and just try to get a stationary shot, if you will. If you go back like 3 seconds, it's a better shot. Now, when you were first explaining this to me on Monday, I'll be honest, I kind of discounted it, and I was like, well, you know, I don't really know if I want to lean into that. It could just be a dirty roof or something. Like, I'm not sure if there's really anything there. But actually, when you look closer here, guys, especially if you zoom in, and again, there might be better angles of this now, and when you review the longer footage, you might get a better idea of what's going on here. But to talk about your theory, at the end of that roof ledge, it actually looks like it drops. Like, look, it doesn't look like it was a flow like a river. It looks like it's literally like drops, like there's almost like they're not even all touching. So that's what you're talking about. I'm glad the crew is zooming in on this now. So that's what you're saying. You're saying that this flow of blood to you doesn't look right.
It doesn't. Like where the officer that's in the black SWAT uniform right there and is right where the light on his rifle is, there's actually a lip that's right there on the roof. And when the blood hits right there, there's a little bit of pooling, but then it continues on the trail. What you would expect there is the pooling at that part, because there is a, you can see an indentation on the roof that runs kind of parallel. It would be more, you would see that, but it just looks like a continuum of where they would drop it. And this is why you have these erratic patterns in the blood. Then as it continues on the way down, blood doesn't react like that to this type of thing. I'm telling you, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm just going to say it's very, very unlikely that the pattern we see there is what we would expect to see in that kind of situation with the variables, a slight angle to the roof, where he was, using their theory on the heat of the roof. That's going to even affect the butt pattern, but it's going to affect it more in keeping it more linear than making it to where it's going to go off the side, because the blood's going to be coagulating as it's going down, which means it's even harder to shift the direction of the blood. So the blood pattern on here is a major hiccup for me. The other thing now, and for those in your show, especially because I know there's a lot of veterans that watch, a lot of law enforcement people that watch, you know, just as a regular officer, one of the most important pieces of equipment that you have on your body is your watch, whether it be military or law enforcement. This is your SWAT team. The watch is it's a critical piece of uniform because, one, it's timing and being in sync. We refer to them. The officer that's wearing the black SWAT uniform doesn't have any watch. The officer that we're watching his body camera footage doesn't have any watch. That's one of those things. I know people may say, well, now you're just getting picky. I'm not getting picky when people understand when it comes to uniform and what's going on here, especially because as you're taking notes and you're referring information, you're going to use that watch as a way to document that time. And people say, oh, you can pull out your phone. You could. But in tactics, we're not, because if you're in a situation where you don't want to illuminate yourself and turning on your phone would create that. This part of the video, which is interesting, I'll cover it. It's blurring his phone. So we're seeing that the screen's blurred, which is fine. I would expect them to have it blurred. But then there's a part where they unblur when he goes to show the videos to the FBI investigator that's there. It's one of those things where it's either you're going to blur it or you're not. So it's almost like they want to bring your attention to that particular part of the video, which, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Also, because you see the rifle here, and the rifle's probably somewhere between maybe...
Well, wait a second. Let's get to the rifle in a second, because there's another important aspect of the cell phone that you pointed out earlier. and then how they unblur it. And this kind of gets me into the another question here. So they have it blurred and then they unblur it. I mean, maybe there was some personal information on there or something, but then it seems like they unblur it because they want you to see the dead shooter, and they put out the video of supposedly the dead shooter's face. Maybe there's some questions with that. But then they blur out the dead body on the roof. So it seems like there's no consistency in what you're supposed to see or not supposed to see.
I agree completely. And it just goes to, are they trying to form a narrative? And I know we're not hearing audio on this, but if people remember at the very beginning of this body camera footage, the first statement you hear, and it comes from the FBI agent, is we don't know. And for those that, you know, subscribe to the idea of predictive programming and seed phrases and all that, the first thing we're all introduced to in this clip from where they started at the 3 minute mark is we don't know. So whether that resonates with people or they subconsciously hear it, it's one of those things where all the things that I'm mentioning here, if they were just that single thing, then maybe we could write it off. Maybe we can call it a coincidence. But one of the things that we do in investigations, especially when it comes to homicides, is you have to look at the totality of all the information that's in front of you, even when it comes to circumstantial stuff. And what kind of picture does that paint for you? What kind of opinion does that form for you? And in a situation like this, you just have things that are inconsistent with the uniforms, things that are inconsistent with anybody that's gone to homicide school and studied the blood patterns and blood splatter and blood drainage or been to fatalities. If they've never been to homicide school, traffic accidents, you've seen enough blood to know how what you would expect in certain situations. Like I said, not a complete thing, but you know, the likelihood. Now, to the part on the rifle, when they breach the roof after he's been killed, after the sniper team takes him out, they're going up there. Now, by this time, we know that the spotter and, well, I'll speculate that we know that the spotter and the sniper have kept their eyes on this guy while the team's on their way over there to confirm that the suspect is dead, which means they're not going to see any movements. They're probably going to be seeing some of the blood maybe draining down, depending on what their angle looks like, maybe not. But when that team breaches and they're approaching the suspect, they're going to see a severe wound to his head. If you look at, especially if the sniper team, which most of them are using some type of like 308 Lapua round, it's going to do extreme damage to the head, even if it's not a direct hit. So once they approach the body, they're going to know definitively if this guy's dead or not before they even get to him to do a pulse check, because you still have to touch the body. Once they do that and they know he's dead, why would you move that firearm that far away? Why would you move it at all? You know that you just had an assassination attempt on the president. You know other people were critically wounded. Maybe you do or you don't know that there's a fatality. But you know that the one weapon that's going to have more forensic analysis done to it than anything is this firearm. So why would you compromise that? Once again, it brings me back to, these aren't just regular cops. These are guys that have probably already been detectives. They probably already work special assignments. They understand the value of not contaminating or disrupting a scene, especially a homicide scene. This kind of brings me to the opinion, well, then why would they? If for some reason there's more going on here than we understand, and well, I'll explain my second here, but if there is more going on, it leads me to believe that they train this more like an active shooter scenario where you're approaching, you get the suspect, you immediately move the firearm, you continue what's going on, but it just doesn't add up to the experience level which you would think these guys would have. Now, the one thing I do want to say, Owen, just to make sure people understand, I'm not by any means saying that on the date that this is a fake event. I believe there was a legitimate real life attempt on President Donald Trump's life. I believe two Americans were critically injured, and I believe the first responder, a hero in this country, lost his life that day. I think the reason Trump's alive is because of divine intervention. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that there's other things that are not going on that are meant to influence the way we see this or the things that we want to believe. And that's why I'm trying to point some of these things out that are here.
Well, and you mentioned the rifle. Okay, so let's go with maybe because they had a couple other events that got Secret Service priority or even local or state police priority. Let's just say they had a guy on that roof who was probably not qualified to be there first, who put the rifle aside. He just didn't know any better. Let's just say that that's the case for the sake of this direction now that I want to go in. I'm yet to see any shell casings. Now they say they found found 8 shell casings on the roof. And even if they wanted to argue, well, okay, they rolled down to the bottom. Well, how is it that they don't even present this evidence or we don't see a single shell casing? How do you make sense of that?
That part's interesting. That's why I want to see the rest of the video, because they people got to know that the rifle, it's going to eject on the right-hand side. So it's going to eject towards the opposite place of where we see that rifle or where we see the body. But they do show us a pan in that video in that three-minute segment. And when they do show us that, you don't see any casings anywhere. And the other thing is, those guys would not be standing where the shell casings are. And where they're all standing is where you would assume, you know, where you would speculate based on the where the ejection port is on that rifle. That's where those shell casings would eject from. So unless every shell casing hit the roof and then rolled down to the ground, which I doubt that's possible. Just statistically, that doesn't sound like it's possible because of the way the angles they eject and the way they're going to hit. You're going to get some. They're going to get caught on those little eaves that are raised. You see the same part that makes the blood pool a little bit. That would actually catch a casing or two, if not all of them. So it just doesn't make sense that they're saying they found eight. Like, see, when you're not seeing casings anywhere. And here's the thing. Well, people say, well, okay, Alpha, they probably collected them for evidence. Well, then that means they would have collected the rifle. That means there's a lot of things that you would have seen that were collected there. You're not going to collect one piece of evidence and not collect the evidence.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. If they do collect it, they put a line on the where they collected it from so that they can still have kind of a crime scene layout to do a further evaluation. They wouldn't just pick it up and that's that.
No, you would at a minimum, you would either see plastic placards with numbers or letters. If they didn't have placards, you would see, you know, some type of spray paint that they could spray paint around them. Although on a homicide, you probably wouldn't want to use that because you don't want to compromise the surface. But you would at least see some type of marking to answer your question where evidence was at.
Well, I do look forward to see you break down the rest of the video. Again, the 3 minutes that we've already seen is pretty much the meat of it. Is there anything else you want to get into as far as the original video? Or any other anomalies you want to point to before I ask you any other questions?
One thing I'll say is because let me address the water tower thing because so many people are trying to put meaning behind that. And this is what I will say. Do I think they should have had a SWAT team up there? Absolutely. I know there's some military men that are snipers that are making, you know, comments to that. What I will say to address that is military sniper teams, even though they have the experience of being snipers in combat in the military, law enforcement still has policies to where it doesn't always add up the same. At a minimum, since you didn't have a sniper team up there, you would have still had law enforcement at the base of that water tower. Because if you're not going to use it, you're going to make sure nobody else uses it. So that's my opinion as far as the law enforcement aspect of the tower. Now, as far as the conspiracies that are going out about a shooter being up there and then using a zip line, here's the thing, you guys. One, there is no tactical zip line that's in existence as far as I know of. Where you would be able to retract it and pull all your evidence. For those that want to subscribe that there was a shooter on the tower, we would have saw evidence right there. And if there is a second shooter on the tower, it would be a shooter that whoever's behind this would not want anybody to know about, which means you wouldn't have a zip line, maybe a rappelling system because those can retract. But then it goes against some of the speculations and conspiracies that are out there. The other thing is you have to get down from there. And at that point, when this is all breaking out, and we know that that compound had a lot of law enforcement there, you would assume that somebody would have saw something unless they're trying to conceal that too. So just, and the other thing too, is when they do the autopsy on Corey's body, when they break down the crime scene, there's things that we do out there that allow us to, within a very precise accuracy to determine the angles of where these impacts were, even to finding them in objects, like, you know, I know there was the crane that was hit, you know, there's the ground, but you would be able to tell because that is the highest point in that immediate area, based on the trajectory during the forensics of the scene, you would know that somebody was up on the tower. So if you had someone there and there was a purposes of concealing the quote unquote real shooter, then you would give it away. So, you know, and I do entertain that the idea that there is a potential second shooter, but just people understand that if that's the case, it's going to be somebody that's positioned closer to the angles of what the patsy in that type of scenario would look like. It rules out the tower in every type of circumstance, and I hope people understand that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, I'm not closed-minded to the potential of a second shooter in all of this, but everything has to add up. And if so, somebody shooting from the water tower, there's just no evidence. There's just no forensic evidence. Yeah, somebody there says water tower. Yeah, people are running to the water tower. But we have to go off forensic evidence. And I mean, look, obviously it's tough to reach conclusions because this whole thing is so crazy. But we have so much video from the day that there are certain things that we can basically put into a formula and say, okay, here's what's possible and here's what's not. And so, yeah, I completely agree that the angle of whatever shooters there were, they had to come from somewhere within a short degree of an angle from where the shooter on the roof was. I mean, I even look at the windows and I'm like, and I don't know if you've done this analysis, but I even look at the windows and I'm like, I don't even know if the angles make sense with the windows. The only thing I could see making sense with a second shooter is if the second shooter was there to take out the shooter on the roof, because the angles do all align from my best analysis with the position of the shooter on the roof.
Absolutely. Like if somebody asked me, where would there be a second shooter if I believe there would be one? If you look at an aerial view of that area, the farthest building in that lot opposite of where the shooter is also the highest portion of that building. And even in the body camera, there's a part where they show the telephone pole that's back there. If you had a shooter that was roughly, you know, at the farthest part or the highest part of that building in line with that telephone pole, it would give you the angle that you would need to mimic that. That's where I would say it would be. But you did remind me of something I did want to cover as well. The FBI agent, when he's interviewing these SWAT officers, he's holding a notepad with his own phone, but he never uses it. So why are you there doing an interview, but you never jot down notes? It's just one of those things that it's a curiosity that when you add it to the totality of things that are going on, it just doesn't make sense to me. And here's the other thing. Anybody that's ever fired an AR rifle or an AR style rifle, you know how loud those things are. Even if you're outdoors, you have a window that's right there that obviously is already open because we saw the previous photo of when they took pictures of them going over that retaining wall. How do you not hear that if you're in there? And if you are in there and you hear that and you look out the window, how do you not quickly eliminate the threat from that position? How is he able to get that many shots off when we know that those personnel right there to where that the rifle they're showing us on that roof does not have any type of suppressor on it? You know, the barrel is open on that rifle, which means it's going to be as loud as it can possibly be. Why didn't anybody in that room address it?
And it was two bursts. It wasn't even one burst where you say, like, oh, it was a delayed response. It was two bursts. Obviously, there was a stand down somehow in that building. I mean, folks, this is crazy. They're in the building. They're literally in the building. The body cam footage shows it's a station headquarters for the event. I mean, how in the hell is it possible that he's up there for 10 minutes? And I would say, too, it looks like at this point that that's probably the bag that he had his gun in. And we're talking 10 minutes to assemble the gun and everything. All right, quickly, I'm out of time here. Actually, you know what? Let's do five more minutes. Let's just do five more minutes because I want to ask you just basic detective questions that I just want to get on the record from you here. That Christopher Wray refused to answer or didn't refuse to answer, maybe was just outright dishonest about, or maybe he's just that incompetent. All right, we're going to do five more minutes. Then my next in-studio guest comes up. Alpha Warrior is our guest. Military experience, law enforcement experience, breaking down this body cam footage.
If, by Rudyard Kipling, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but are none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, Yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.